Hello, welcome to the Retro Game Club podcast, season 4, episode 2, which is also episode 113. I am Rob, and joining me is someone who had his offer to buy Activision declined, Hugh.
Yeah, I offered up my life savings, which is about $7, and they did not take it.
Well, you still beat GameStop's bid of $5.14 or $8 in store credit.
Yes. Actually, $8 in store credit is about what you would get for trying to trade in all of Activision at GameStop.
Exactly. Like every single Activision game ever. Yeah.
Yeah. All their IP, whatever cash they have, all of it.
Well, it's probably not good news for video gaming in general, but maybe they'll bring back King's Quest and Space Quest. I don't know.
No, I suspect it means that Microsoft is building some sort of monopoly that eventually will get broken up.
Microsoft? A monopoly? That's never happened before.
Never happened before.
No. I just
don't know if it's going to be legal for them to be like, yeah, we bought this publisher who was a... I guess it probably is legal if they just converted Activision to be an Xbox exclusive developer. I mean, it would financially be stupid. Because I don't think they make that much money selling hardware. I think most of your money is sold in games. So, especially with these high-powered consoles, I can't imagine Microsoft makes any money at all selling hardware.
No, I think their end game is their Game Pass. So, just get everyone paying monthly. They just needed a few more studios under their belt, I guess.
Yeah, this all sounds great.
So, what have you been up to?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I've been playing one of the last Uncharted games I haven't played, which is the Lost Legacy.
Yeah, pretty good. That's the only one I haven't played. You're enjoying it?
Yeah. I mean, it's really short. Like, I think you can play through it in 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of all just in one area. You know, the other Uncharted games, you're like bouncing around the globe a lot. This is all sort of one giant area that you're in. But, you know, it's like $15. So who cares?
Yeah, I need to check that out. Yeah.
And it's good. It's as good as any of the other Uncharted games, just a little bit smaller.
I think that's perfect. You know, like a 10 to 20 hour game for me is kind of the perfect length.
Yeah, especially if it's good. Like there's really, I didn't find anything bad in the game. Mm-hmm. There's one sort of, I won't call it open world part, but one part where you have a car and there's like a main map and you're supposed to go do these temples in a certain order. Mm-hmm. But then there's like 4 or 5 optional ones that each have small puzzles. And if you do those, then you get an item that helps you find treasure, I guess. It's an optional side quest that you can do.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And let's see. I did an arcade-themed escape room with my family recently because my oldest kid was going back to college and we decided to do some family type of event before she went back. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of escape room places in the area. We've actually done most of them. We go to Morris. I don't really talk about escape rooms that much. We do an awful lot of them. And this one is like, it was an arcade themed one. Like it takes place in an arcade. I mean, they only had a couple of games and none of the puzzles involve like beating the games, unfortunately. But it was fun. It was a good time. Like they had like a moral. Yeah.
You don't have to find the hidden credits and adventure or something like that.
No, nothing like that. No, I mean, they have a Mortal Kombat machine, but you aren't actually playing Mortal Kombat. Like you're copying some pattern on the screen that happens to appear. And, you know, there was what else was there? They had a Pac-Man machine, some pinball machine, but the pinball machine was just used to like hide codes. And yeah, I was just there. And I don't remember all the machines they had. They had a Rampage machine, but you didn't really do anything with it. That like concealed the secret door. I don't want to give people the solution in case they do. We did solve it with like a lot of time left too. So,
I've never been to an escape room. I have one question about them. Mm-hmm. What happens if you have to go to the bathroom?
You can just walk out the door. The way you came in, you can leave anytime.
Oh, okay. So they're not like what I've seen in TV shows and stuff. You're like locked in there. Like a panic.
No, you can walk out the door that you entered in. You can leave anytime. They tell you, like, if you have an emergency, like it's an hour time limit. Hopefully you nothing hits you in that hour. I guess it depends what you ate half an hour before going. I don't know.
Yeah, if you went to Arby's beforehand, but bad idea.
Oh, man, last time I ate at Arby's, that was a bad evening for me. I've not eaten at Arby's in at least 15 years after that. So, yeah, or if, you know, you just get claustrophobic. I mean, like, there's some kind of enclosed spaces, there's flashing lights, there's all kinds of things that could cause you to decide you want to leave. Mm-hmm. So they let you leave anytime.
That's good. And you know what? That might make me go to one, because that's one of the reasons why I never went to one. I'm like, I don't want to actually be locked in a room.
No, I don't think they legally could even do that.
Okay.
And the people are watching you because they want to make sure, because you're not supposed to like destroy it. Like, you could solve the thing much more quickly if you could just break stuff.
Yeah.
So there's cameras, like, they're watching every single thing you do to make sure you're not breaking things.
Yeah.
So if someone was having even if they locked the door, which I don't believe any of them do, if you had some sort of freak out, they would just help you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I also, last but not least, I realized that with the shift, it was around the year 2000 when they started staggering when the Olympics happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked, and there is a Salt Lake 2002 video game, which would be 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that seems pretty retro. And then I watched some gameplay videos of it and decided there's no chance I'm going to play that.
There's not a lot of good Olympic games.
Yeah, I would argue there's probably zero. Maybe track and field arcade. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Mario Sonic ones are okay, but they're just okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I hear Winter Games, the old Winter Games, the Epic's Winter Games was pretty good for its time. But
for its time, yeah, on the Commodore 64, you know, like the bobsled is kind of cool. Maybe the ski jump is kind of cool, but, you know, there's impossible parts like the skating. It's just not possible to get a good score.
Yeah. Hey, so what have you been up to?
I finished that Watch Dogs games, and I really think you need to play it. It is fantastic.
Okay.
If you like Grand Theft Auto, but I want to say it's definitely less violent, but there's still a lot of you can make it pretty violent, but if you start killing, you get pretty penalized when you kill a civilian or an officer, but you kind of the whole premise is kind of you're hacking and here's another reason why you have to play it. It all takes place in Chicago. So I want to see how well you think they got Chicago.
Okay.
And is there a place around Chicago called Pawnee that people go for little outdoor retreats?
There's that's the name of the city that Parks and Rec takes place in.
Yeah, but that's in Indiana. So I didn't know if they made up this little suburb in Illinois. Not even suburb, but it's supposed to be like out in the sticks. And also they had parts of outside of Chicago have, I don't want to say mountains, but it's pretty hilly. And I don't think I've ever seen a hill in all of northern Illinois.
No. on a side note, I was staying a while ago when I was up in like northern Wisconsin. I did visit the highest geographical point in Wisconsin.
Was it like 10 feet?
It was about 10 feet. Yeah. I feel like I could have, like, it was a hill, but I feel like I could have touched the top from the base.
Yeah.
So no, there are not any hills. I'm not sure you think this is a town that's in the sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe they made that part up because a lot of crazy stuff goes on there. Maybe they didn't want to. They don't call out any suburbs. They just kind of try to get the downtown correctly. What I got a lot of pleasure in playing this game was, so you're hacking, there's a big company called CTOS in Chicago. They're kind of like AT&T meets Google. They kind of listen to everything. They're your cell service, yada, yada, yada. Well, you hack the cell towers in order to gain hackability features in each part of Chicago, kind of like getting to the top of a tower in Breath of the mm-hmm. Wild. You can then use your cell phone while you're driving to like make bridges go up, make gates open and close, explode steam pipes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So you can do some pretty funny things while driving. Okay.
So there is a Pawnee, Illinois, but it is nowhere near the city. I mean, it's downstate.
Okay. So maybe it's supposed to be like all of Illinois, and this is just, you know, they didn't want to make you drive as far as you do in San Andreas.
Yeah, this is like a 4-hour drive.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, at least. Hold on. Okay. So that's 1 hour. Yeah, about 4 hours.
Okay. So I'm glad there's at least a Pawnee, Illinois.
It's much closer to St. Louis than it is to Chicago.
I would say you and probably a lot of our listeners love this game. I started Red Dead Redemption 2, and I bounced off it after about 6 hours. Nothing wrong with the game, but I just know it's a very, very, very long game. And I just don't have time with it, and I kind of feel like I got the gist of it. So there you go. I'm kind of done with that one. And so I started Bayonetta. I know Bayonetta 3 is going to come out this year. The first one came out in 2010. I have it on Switch. I got it with a free code when I bought Bayonetta 2 on Switch, which I haven't played yet. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of grindy, but you have to... I'll talk about it after I beat it, if I beat it. But yeah, that's really what I've been up to. I guess we got some news.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit less than usual, which I'm not going to complain about. Oh, wait, no, someone added stuff.
I added two to the bottom, but they're quick things.
Okay. So one of these is a cool project where someone using a Mister and a Raspberry Pi created it's a Mister that has a bunch of ROMs on it. And then he has like built a game store and looking place in his basement or dining room or whatever room of his house he converted. And then has a Raspberry Pi connected to that Mister with a barcode scanner. So he can pick up a physical game, scan the barcode, and then it plays on the Mister.
What a fantastic project.
It's yeah. So you really can, cool. You can just browse around your games and scan the one you want to play.
And, it, you know, if someone owns a retro store or something like that, you know, I hope he has his code out there. So maybe some stores could actually implement this.
Yeah, I don't think he owns a store. I think he built a store in his house.
Oh, I'm just saying, for possible store owners, this might be a cool project.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty neat. I like this project. Prince of Persia on Apple Watch.
Yeah, so you can play... It's kind of a BS title.
Yes, this is a website that has Prince of Persia running in JavaScript, which then I guess you can run on anything that has JavaScript.
Yes. So you go to princejs.com and you could play the original Apple II Prince of Persia on anything. But apparently it does work on your Apple Watch. But that was the real part of the story for me is princejs.com exists. I did not know that.
Yeah, but that should have just been the title. Let's see. Nerd Noise Radio sent us a link to watching movies on the original Nintendo Game Boy.
Yes. So, I don't know if you got through this article, but in short, this is almost a follow-up article of something we had, I think many months ago, about a Wi-Fi cartridge someone built for the Game Boy. This extended that so you can stream movies from your computer, like Netflix or whatever, to this cartridge through Wi-Fi at 20 frames a second, which seems a lot for a Game Boy.
It does seem like a lot for the Game Boy.
But yeah, this is not a project I will ever, ever do. I do like this, though, because they do rip on The Last Jedi, which... I will do any chance I get. They said it's still better than watching Last Jedi in the theaters.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I still regret not just leaving that movie.
Yes.
I do feel like my life would have been better if I just after the first 5 minutes said, yep, I'm good.
Yes, I agree.
I did that, by the way. So the other night, my wife and I was taking a break from work, and we decided to finally watch the new Bill and Ted movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? Let's just skip to the ending about halfway through. Like, let's just fast forward to the ending. Okay, I feel like I've got what I need from this now. That movie was not good. Did you love that movie?
So I did like it. I definitely thought it was better than Bogus Journey. But you have to remember, when it came out, there were no other movies out. So mm-hmm. I was judging it pretty. I had seen nothing new in many, many months.
You didn't find the pacing of it to be absolutely terrible?
Like, the first 10 or 15 minutes are rough, and then I thought it got pretty good. I was laughing at some points, and I know I chuckle a lot during this podcast, but it's kind of hard for a movie or TV show to make me laugh, and that one got me to laugh a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just decided we just skipped to the last 5 minutes, and that seems like a good way to watch it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. All right. Building a Mega Drive hardware dev kit. This is a really hardcore project. So this is I don't know if there's a simpler way to do this. Probably not. But I mean, this is pretty advanced. I mean, this is like, I'm going to build a circuit board. I got chips, all that stuff. All this stuff I don't understand.
And figuring out how to. So apparently the point of this is to be able to code Genesis games on your Atari ST and just compile pretty much directly to this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you pretty much have to build a Genesis, right?
That's essentially what he's doing, yeah. What with, you know, with all the various interfaces. Yeah, and then he's got some, yeah, there's just a lot going on in this article. I don't understand 90% of it.
Yeah, this is a very, very smart individual. And I hope one of our listeners builds one of these.
And let's see, and RetroArch wants to add support for Nintendo 64 cartridges.
Yeah, they're actually building their own cart reader that they want to sell for much cheaper than all the ones that you would buy off Alibaba. And then you can use RetroArch to play, yeah, the real carts. I like that they're doing that. What else? Oh, this article. Didn't we debate not putting this one? I forget.
No, the one I don't want to put on was the scientist trains rats to play Doom.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to focus more on like things you can actually do. And I figured that it's not really feasible for people to train rats to play Doom. And I think I didn't add this one to the notes. So maybe Zach added it. No offense to Zach.
I added it. I probably added it. A lot of times I'll add stuff and then delete it later.
Oh, well, this is someone who figured out how to hook up a rotary phone to their computer or whatever, and then use it as a controller for Doom.
Yeah, you're not actually playing it on the phone. You're controlling it.
This is a bad headline. This is someone created a rotary phone to joystick interface. That's the headline.
So one is shoot, two is left, three right, four forward, five back, and six is the action button.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I love that people create stuff, but that's not a project I will do. This is one of the ones I think I just added.
Okay, this is in the takedown letter pending section of the news. So someone is doing a fan version of Star Fox, but on the Sega Genesis. So look forward to that being shut down soon.
Not by Sega, by Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I never really thought about Sega having the virtual processor, which is almost the exact same specs, as the Super FX chip.
Yeah, yeah. Although more expensive.
It is? Okay.
Well, Virtual Racing was a $90 game when it came out. Star Fox was a $60 game. That's what I'm basing it on.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So the video is pretty impressive. I guess it's still missing a few features, but it works. Also, there's an artist named Remute that is releasing his album on the Nintendo 64 on an actual cartridge. He used the 64 kind of as a synth to create all the songs. And so he was able to get it down to less than 8 megs and fit it on a cart.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't listened to this one yet, but it says it's very craftworky. What other bands do they list here? Yellow. Yeah, so very synthy from maybe the late 70s, early 80s. But he also released one of these for Dreamcast. And what was the other system? He released one for the Dreamcast and for Game Boy Advance. So yeah, cool project.
And what is last tier? You know, I saw this on the news and just actually purposely decided not to add it because it looked kind of scammy.
It's not so scammy. So this is a product for your Nintendo or Super Nintendo called Wingman SNES, and you could add up to 125 different wired or wireless controllers. So in a sense, it's a low latency, highly stable Bluetooth adapter for your NES or SNES, and you could also plug in USB controllers as well. So kind of neat. I don't see, is there a price here? I don't see a price.
Yeah, it's there. They're linked to PlayAsia. It's like $70.
Okay.
That's it's $61.99, but PlayAsia doesn't have free shipping.
Yeah. Not so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. This fits into the category of like, we received this thing for free and now we're going to say it's awesome. This is like Nintendo Life. This is my like whole grievance with Nintendo Life lately. They have a lot of articles recently that are like, someone sent us some junky gizmo and we're going to say it's great because we got it for free.
Yeah, before I buy stuff like this now, I mean, when we first started this podcast, probably until really this year, I would kind of buy anything like this. But now I watch some YouTube videos and make sure it's actually what I want.
Yeah, yeah. I just, that's why I didn't put this on there because it has that feel to it. And I can't imagine that you could actually play an action game with this.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of hops involved. So any game that like is like requires really precise timing, I don't think you're going to be any good at. So I have I have a wireless Sega Genesis controller, right? And this is actually hooks up to the computer. I have my camera off. I don't know why I'm showing it. But I have like one of the, 8-bit DO wireless Genesis controllers.
Uh-huh.
And like, it's good. I mostly play like RPGs or adventure games, so it's fine for that. I would never try to use this for a game where you had to have like fast reflexes.
Uh-huh.
There's just enough of a delay. And if this thing says low latency, it's going to be awful. I'm just predicting that it doesn't work well.
I've had that problem with a few controllers. I've had much better success with the 2.4 gigahertz controllers, but yeah, nothing's going to be as fast as the original. But we have a topic this week I came up with. So the topic is the ultimate Dreamcast. So recently, I got a Dreamcast that kind of has all the bells and whistles you can imagine. And it really feels like a modern console at this point. So you could do so much to your Dreamcast. And I just wanted to go over, I mean, I want to say a few things, but there's quite a lot here. So let's just jump into it. So the first way you can modify your Dreamcast is with a new shell. So there's a few companies that sell kind of see-through transparent shells or ones that look exactly like the original, just so you don't have like a yellow shell around it. But you could also get the Dream Case, which doesn't look like the Dreamcast at all, other than it has the logo at the top. And it's meant to house a Dreamcast that kind of has all the mods you can imagine. And it really modernizes it. I don't think there's really any wrong answer for this one. If you're already modding a Dreamcast, it doesn't need to look original at that point. At least I don't think so. One, I think, important thing that you could do to your Dreamcast or have someone do for you, probably, is recap the motherboard and the power supply unit. So those caps, you know, will eventually get leaky and your Dreamcast might start flaking out. You know, it's actually kind of it gets kind of hot in there. So it could cause some damage after a while. And also, they probably didn't use the most expensive caps. So, you know, there's places that do for you, but you could seriously buy the Dreamcast power supply cap kit for $6.50 and other caps for, like, let's see, the whole service mount kit is $9, and your Dreamcast will pretty much live forever after that if you did a good job recapping it. Let's see here. What else? You can definitely replace the power supply unit. That is something that could definitely go or just start to go. So your Dreamcast might be just a little bit flaky. And so there's kind of two ways you could go with it. You could go with the ReDream, which can fit inside, and it's just a very tiny 12-volt power supply with, you know, it's a real modern design. Or you could go with the Dreamcast Pico PSU, which is how I went, and it pretty much opens up your Dreamcast to an external ATX power supply. And I went that way because why not get the power supply to be external? That way you could pretty much use any AC adapter with it that meets the right specs. And if it ever breaks, you really don't need to open it up again because it's probably not going to be the parts inside that break at that point. Definitely replace the battery. And there's mods that can make it much easier to replace the battery in the future. There is a quiet fan upgrade. So many of you know the fan in your Dreamcast is can be a bit distracting. There's a company that makes quiet fans. I actually use them on my Mister as well. They are little speedy fans that don't make any noise. So it really helps kind of get the heat outside of that shell. One of the most important upgrades you could do to your Dreamcast is the Dreamcast HDMI, the DC digital kit. So this thing is incredible. I have it in mine. It is impossible to solder. I had someone do it for me because, it's like micro soldering, if you ask me at that point. And it just adds an HDMI output to your Dreamcast, but it does more than that. It supports scan lines. It supports upscaling to 1080p. It has built-in Wi-Fi, so you can actually upgrade its firmware, not by having to plug it into anything, which I thought was quite a quality of life thing. And it also has quick keys, so you can adjust settings on the fly. Very, very forward-thinking device. Some of the most popular upgrades are the GDEMU, which is the pioneer of SD cards in retro consoles. And GDEMU, I think the guy is in Australia, I want to say, who builds these, and he just has a WordPress site. And it's almost impossible to get these the way he sells them. And I'm not dogging on him. He does it the way he wants to and the way that it's simplest for him. I got really lucky to get mine. And there are some cheap Alibaba knockoffs that are literally ripoffs from his design. So if you're buying one on eBay, buyer beware. But the way I would go with this is to get the Terra Onion mode, which I recently put in my Dreamcast. I like it a bit better. You can use an SD card, a USB stick, or a SATA drive, and I opted for the SATA drive. You can use two of those examples that I listed. So if you use the SATA, you can't use the USB, but you can use an SD card. But if you use the USB, you can't use a SATA, but you could still use the SD card. And so you could have two different places at once where you have your games. You know, I don't know why you would do that. Maybe one has just a certain I don't know if you're a speedrunner and you just want to put, you know, the games you like the best on one of them. I don't know. But I thought that was pretty cool. And it also just has a lot of quality of life things in there. You can 3D print a tray for your SD card for the Terra Onion mode as well. So you don't have to kind of reach into the console where the GD drive used to be. And that just kind of makes it look slick. And then really the controllers are the last thing that you could do to it. So there's the DC Striker, the controller made by Hughes' least favorite controller company. The one that made that N64 brawler that you got.
Yeah, the one who sent me two different defective controllers.
Yes.
They were defective in different ways.
Yeah, so.
To their credit, they fixed one design problem and introduced another one.
Well, the DC Striker, I think they finally got right. I used to have a brawler too, and I wasn't a big fan of it. And I think I still have that somewhere, actually. Anyway, the DC Striker, which is their Dreamcast controller, I've been using a lot, and I have had zero issues with it. And it doesn't change as much as the brawler did. It's more, it has a feel of the classic controller, just a little bit modernized. And then there's another one. I haven't had much luck with this, but I think it's a whole bunch of my problem. It's a controller called the Dreamcon Plus. And so it's a gentleman, I think in Europe someplace, that takes the innards out of a real Dreamcast controller and makes it wireless and gives you a wireless adapter. I didn't notice any lag with it. I just had problems. Like, the battery does last 9 hours on a charge, which is great, but I couldn't figure out how to turn the thing off. So if I wasn't using the Dreamcast, I would have to leave it plugged in and charging all the time. Yeah, there's just some small things that I wasn't into with that, but I think it is actually a great device, especially if you want to use a real controller. And so if you do all of those things to your Dreamcast, it's going to take you a long time to do. You could break your Dreamcast. Don't be mad at me if you do. There are two companies I found that you can actually build your own, you know, ultimate Dreamcast. There's Stone Age Gamer, and there's Power Up Gaming. And I used Power Up Gaming. He did an amazing job. The communication from him wasn't the best, but again, that's me being really picky. You know, when you buy it, it does say, you know, this could take up to 6 weeks to get to you. And it definitely took, I mean, I bought it on, I think I bought it on Halloween night, actually, and I received it on Christmas Eve. So he was very cool to get it out to me for Christmas Eve. And I kind of asked him, like, why does this, you know, I know this isn't easy to do, but why did this take so long? And he said, I had yours built for a while and I was testing it, and 2 hours into a game being open, it would crash. And so I replaced this motherboard again. So I thought that was really cool that he really took the time to make sure I was getting a quality product that was going to last. And so that's another reason why going to one of these companies that you know you could kind of piece together yourself and have them build it is good to do. And it's really only going to cost you maybe like $40 extra, but I think your sanity is probably worth that easily.
So I added up the price of all the upgrades, not counting controllers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think all the upgrades you mentioned go for?
Oh, I have no idea.
We're supposed to take a guess.
A guess. $700.
That's a little high. $518.45 I got.
Okay. So having them do it, I mean, I probably paid around $680, $700. So, yeah, it's more than $40, I guess, to have them do it. But I would break my Dreamcast if I didn't have someone do this for me.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm willing to go with Dreamcast modifications, I have the VGA adapter, and that's as far as I'm willing to go.
Oh, I forgot.
There's no modding.
I forgot to mention that in the price I mentioned, I also got a Dreamcast with it. I did not supply my Dreamcast. So
okay.
So this probably
$50 right there, probably.
Yeah. Oh, actually, it's probably, I mean, those are probably more now on eBay. Dreamcast is going like crazy.
Oh, really? Okay.
So
I have two Dreamcasts and I spent less than $200 for both of them, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I've said on this show before, I think I got mine for 30 something, like right when no one wanted them anymore. That's the way to do it.
Dreamcast isn't that absurd, really. I mean, you can get a working one for 70. Looks like 70 is about the right price for them right now. 70 to 75.
Yeah, that's not so bad at all. I mean, this was the system that I, for the first time, felt like I had an arcade in my house. Like, they finally did it. Mm-hmm. And this makes it even better. You know, it upscales and stuff like that. I mean, it upscales, you know, the 240 image to, you know, 1080. It's not doing what emulators could do, but it just looks fantastic. It runs fast. A lot of the games feel so modern, especially the shooters. So,
yeah. All right. So just punching in the word Dreamcast and then doing a sort price per price plus shipping, highest to lowest. I have the most expensive thing that shows up for the term Dreamcast.
I want to guess it's a rare version of a Dreamcast, and it's $1,200.
You are extremely close. It is the Dreamcast Code Veronica Limited Console Edition Stars version, mint condition. And they are asking $18,000.
$18,000. I mean, there is probably only a few of those made, right?
I don't know anything about this particular. It has a sticker on the back. This is number 172 of 200.
Okay. So only 200 of them made. Wow.
Yep. 172. This is 172 of 200.
Now, someone could probably mimic that case it's in. And
right, but I don't think having the aesthetic of the case is why you're willing to spend five figures on this.
What else does it come with?
Well, because it has this like box and
okay.
Some sealed games and this special controller. I guess these must have just been given out to, I don't know. I don't know how there's 200. I don't know this history of this one at all.
Yeah, there were a lot of weird Dreamcasts. I forget there's like an orange one that's worth a ton of money. I forget what that one was. But yeah, it could get pretty pricey.
Someone is selling a development kit with GD Burner for $6,500.
Okay.
Let's do the other side. Let's do lowest first. Hold on. I know I'm falling into a rabbit hole here. All right. So I have, okay, the absolute cheapest thing that shows up for the term Dreamcast.
Is it, I don't know what it would be.
Well, it's a game.
Okay.
It's a game someone is selling for 99 cents with $5 shipping.
What game is it?
It is called Slave Zero.
I don't think I know that one.
It can be yours for $6.
Does it have a case?
Yeah, it actually looks like it's in good condition.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, wait, or is this case only? Let me see here. Wait, no, there's the disc. There is the reflection of the dude taking a photo of the case, of the back of the CD. Doesn't say anything special about it. The reviews on this game are bad. So there you go.
That's funny. I'm gonna have to check that game out though, just because.
The next cheapest game is Roadsters.
Never heard of that one.
Followed by Speed Devils, These are all still $5 or less. And the first $10 game is Godzilla.
Have you ever played that one? I've always been curious about that one.
I've never found a Godzilla game that I had any desire to play. I played the TurboGrafx one for like a minute and said, okay, there's a thing I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're kind of up to Game Club here. Want me to just to keep talking about Dreamcast through Game Club for a minute?
We can move on. I think if you want to talk about Dreamcast, you can talk about Dreamcast. Otherwise, we can move on.
Well, I was going to say, I have a Dreamcast game I need to talk about for Game Club.
All right. Let's do that then.
Soul Calibur came out in the summer of 1998. So I wouldn't call it usually this would be an early game for a console's lifespan, but yeah, I guess.
Well, Dreamcast, every game is an early game and a late game.
Exactly. Yeah. So this was developed by Project Soul and produced by Namco. And it was released, yeah, in North America in 99. But anyway, the arcade version of this was really just a upgraded PlayStation. So this is one of those instances where the home port is better than the arcade in many ways. And so this is the sequel to Soul Edge, which I think I had on PlayStation. And it's a 3D fighting game, kind of like Tekken, except you have swords and axes and stuff like that. The purpose of this game is to try to get the Soul Edge, which is this mystical blade or whatever. And that's about it. And so you could beat this game pretty quickly and unlock more characters. And I think the idea is to beat it as every character, because then you can unlock certain other things like different outfits, like I said, different characters, and a liquid metal mode that you could play that I've never even seen. Another reason why this is better than the arcade is because it has these different modes. So it adds a team battle, it adds a survival mode and a training mode and a mission mode, I want to say. I haven't really played these. I've only done the arcade mode. And I think it's pretty fun. I'm a little bit better than a button masher on this. I beat it with, I think, 3 or 4 characters. So, you know, your characters not only look different, but they're, you know, you may have like 2 small swords or 1 giant axe, or you might have Soul Edge, just, you know, giant long sword. Yeah, there's, I think, 7 of them now. I bought Soul Calibur 7 when it came out a few years ago, and it was a good game, but I don't even remember if you can choose a character. I think it was specifically you designed a character, and that's really wasn't what I didn't want that at the time. I did see a funny video about it. I know this isn't retro because I'm talking about Soul Calibur 7 now, but if you design your character in a certain way, you can literally make it just 1 giant box, and it just looks funny, this box spinning around. But I adore this game. I think it just looks beautiful. The sound is great. It's really fun to play. It's fun to play against friends as well. If I get time, I'm going to try these different modes. And it is one of the first Dreamcast games I got. Hey, have you played this one much?
No. I don't own any version of the Dreamcast game. What I do have is the second game on GameCube, which for some reason I have 2 copies of it.
Nice.
Well, I have a boxed one that I got for like $2. But that's not a joke. And then a couple years ago, I bought like a CD wallet of GameCube games for also like $2. And it happened to be in there too.
That's great. Soul Calibur 2 is a fantastic game.
Yeah, it's all right. I like that you can play as Link. And I suspect he's overpowered because the game seemed pretty easy when you play as Link. Like Nintendo said you can use him, but he can't ever lose, I guess.
Yeah.
And it really, even though it's a 3D fighting game, it doesn't really feel like a 3D fighter to me. It feels more like just a 2D fighter where the camera kind of rotates around a little bit. And at least when I played, it seemed like all the opponents, if you figured out what attack you could spam, you could beat most of the opponents pretty easily.
Uh-huh.
Like in the last boss, I would just do like literally just kick him in the face repeatedly. And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that was the only move that I needed to know was kick to face. Any other move he would block, but that one he didn't. And you could just reuse it. Now, of course, Mortal Kombat 2, like, if you play as Jax, you can beat the last boss. Like you don't have such a joystick. You just have to, you can only, have, you just have to be able to hit the high kick button at the right time.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, so there's plenty of games that have some kind of vulnerability where you can spam one move. But yeah, it was all right. I don't know if I would get into it too heavily, but it was kind of fun for a little while.
This is one of those games I think is more fun playing against a person because yeah, the computer AI isn't the best. But it is beautiful. Let's move on to yours.
Yeah, I said any Madden game because I don't want to talk about every Madden game. So I actually fired up the 3DO version of Madden just because I have it. And it's kind of a neat version to play. You know, back when I worked in a game store in the 90s, we had a 3DO demo unit. Uh-huh. And the only game that ever sold a single system was Madden Football. We tried many different games in that demo unit, and Madden Football is the only one people would actually like stop and play and, you know, express an interest in the system.
I believe it.
Yeah. This is why I never touched demo units in stores. I mean, like, I full on saw a kid just walk up. The kid was basically face level with the controller, and I saw a kid full on walk up, sneeze directly on the controller, right? Didn't cover mouth, nothing, just full on sneeze on the controller. And I'm like, yeah, I'm never touching that thing. This was long before COVID.
Yeah, like, yeah.
No. So, it was actually kind of a system seller for the 3DO. People who were, you know, were big fans of getting the best version of Madden they could were willing to pay, you know, pretty decent amount of money to get what was technically the best version of Madden available. According to the manual has credits, and the credits basically say, for whatever reason, the credits say it's based on Madden 93, which it kind of plays like Madden 93. Doesn't seem that different. But the graphics, of course, are entirely new. But like the playbooks, how the pad, like the little passing window that opens up, all that stuff seems to be exactly the same. I did run into a problem. I was, this gets back to why I don't believe those controller adapters will work well. So I have a adapter to play Super Nintendo controllers on the 3DO because the 3DO controller is kind of garbage.
Yeah.
And that works great unless I have an extension cable and then like literally only the start button works.
Oh, that's strange.
It is strange. And I started looking at code examples on GitHub for 3DO. There's not very many. But one of them, the Doom code, for example, made some reference to like start button always has to work. It was like something along those lines, like there's some coding spec. So I think they actually handle start button presses differently than others. So what I'm guessing is happening is there's some code to test buttons pressed versus buttons held on a frame. And if there's even one frame latency, it just drops the buttons except for start. Is what I think is happening.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. Because literally, like, up, down, left, right, nothing worked. Just start button. So that was kind of fun to debug. And then I got rid of the extension cable, and then it worked fine.
That's
why I think that these Bluetooth to something else things are not going to work for
you. Are you sure it's not just the cable? Because it seems crazy that 6 feet...
I use that same cable to play Super Nintendo all the time.
Oh, that's so weird.
I have, like, one Super Nintendo extension cable, and it definitely works with a Super Nintendo.
It just doesn't seem like 6 extra feet would add one frame of latency at, you know, the speed electrons move.
I don't know if I don't know what's going on, man. I just know it doesn't work. So that has nothing to do with Madden, but yeah, it was a pretty good game. It's got all the like classic teams. It has a lot of like overpowered classic teams. So you can have like, you know, some Steelers team that won a championship in the 70s against whoever was a bad team in 1993. Probably the Bears. I think they were bad most of the time of the 90s. Wait, did the Bears make the playoffs at all in the 90s? That is a good question. Well, the Lions were always a bad team in the 90s, right?
The Lions are always the worst team ever. Always.
They're always bad, though. They haven't had a good season.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. I did actually go to a game where that 0-16 team played. it was a work thing. I got through a vendor, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I had Skybox tickets to the Bears versus Lions game where the Lions nearly won that game. I got to tell you, the Bears really wanted them to not be a winless team. It was very, very close to a victory for them. But yeah, so it's Madden. So what did you play?
I think it was last time I talked about how, my buddy lent me his Genesis back in the day, and he gave me Sonic and I think Madden 93. It was Madden that really sold me on the system. Like, okay, I get why people love the Genesis. This is fantastic. And I remember back then I was winning a lot and loving the game, and I was pretty good at it. And so this time I played the Genesis Madden 93. Yeah, it's a fantastic game. I'm just horrible at it. It is so deep. There are so many different plays. It's a complex game. It really is, in a good way. I just need to spend more time on it to figure it out better. So I figured, well, I could play the duo port of this. And so I did, because I figured, hey, it's two buttons. It's got to be a little simpler. So the sound was definitely better. It had some full motion video, which was actually not bad. I think I enjoyed that one a little bit better, but only because I was so bad at the other one. Yeah. I do think I was missing a few things. I'm not sure it was actually built for the two button controller. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, it probably plays a little bit slower, too, is my guess. The Genesis Madden was always the fastest version, even compared to the Super Nintendo.
I didn't notice anything, but I was playing it one after the other. If I had them side by side, I would, be able to tell better. But so two things. I loaded my EverDrive, and I really only had, I think, Madden 93 and 94 on there. I thought there were a lot more for the Genesis.
Yeah, they go over to 98.
Why didn't I have that? That's weird. Maybe I did that on purpose. Maybe I was like, I'm never going to play all of these.
I also have one of these dedicated handheld systems that's just, I think, Madden 95.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It was a thing they sold. This wasn't sold in 1995. I bought this in 2010 or something. It was at, this might have been at Walmart. I don't know why it was at Walmart, but that's where I seem to recall it. And they had a bunch of these, plug and play systems. And one of them was, here's Madden 90. It's a Sega Genesis controller with Madden 95 built on it. Why Madden 95? Who cares?
That's actually a pretty good idea for our product. So what do you think your favorite Madden is?
The first one on GameCube is the one I've played the most. So I guess it's my favorite. I don't know if it's actually technically the best, but that one has crazy like monster teams, literally monster teams. I don't mean players are that are monsters. I mean Frankenstein is on the team, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like that because it has all these goofy modes. Mm-hmm. And maybe the newer ones do too. I don't know, but I don't buy Madden. I just don't buy the newest Madden. The last Madden I bought was the one on Wii. And I think there's only one Madden game on Wii. It's amazing how successful the system the Wii was, despite not having Madden games.
Yeah.
And that one, I didn't like quite as much, but it had throw it with the remote.
Oh, jeez.
You throw the ball with the remote. You don't have to have a good spiral or anything, but that's how you choose who you're passing it to is, by what direction you shake the remote. So it's a lot of, it's a lot of kind of, who's a really errant quarterback that is wildly inaccurate?
I don't know anything about football. You're asking the wrong person.
Oh, who's the current Lions quarterback? Jared Goff, right? It's actually, he's not really bad though, But I mean, it's really, you know, erratic. It's a lot like Tommy Maddox throws. There we go. There's a good deep cut reference.
I wonder how many TVs were broken with Madden for Wii. Accidentally throwing your controller.
Yeah. Yeah. There's gotta be some.
Well, what are you going to play next?
I mentioned, I think on the last episode, that I recently bought Doom 64 for Switch. Mm-hmm. I forgot that I actually already had Doom 64 for PlayStation 4. So, I'm going to do the remastered version of Doom 64. I know that when we had the Hard for Games guys on, their game of the week pick was Doom 64, but I definitely didn't play it back then.
Okay.
I for sure did not play because I only had the Nintendo 64 version, which I can't stand.
Yeah.
I have looked at the PS4 one long enough to know that it fixes the brightness.
Okay, good.
You can burn your eyes out. You can make it so bright that it's like the surface of the sun.
Nice. Well, I'm going to do Bonk's Adventure on TurboGrafx-16, not on NES or Game Boy, because those are different, not good games. So
they're good for their respective systems, but they're a little different.
Yeah.
What about the GameCube version? The GameCube version is the same levels.
There was something different about it. I really want to stick.
The graphics are different. Yeah.
I think it played different too. I can't remember, but yeah, I'm sticking with TurboGrafx-16. So, if any of our listeners play Bonk's Adventure, Doom 64 Remastered, Soul Calibur, or any Madden game, has any cool retro projects or anything they want to tell us about, has any news they want to share, please email us. Email at retrogameclub.net. That is email at retrogameclub.net. Or look at our link tree that's in our show notes that has our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and maybe other stuff. We don't even know.
No. Hopefully it's just regular things and nothing too bizarre.
Yes. Zach takes care of all that. So thank you, Zach.
We got a couple emails. Yeah, I'll take it here. So Jason writes in just to chime in on the hydraulic press question, which, by the way, on social media, we apparently asked that too. And there's a lot of replies that I'll get to. And he suggests stadium events would be the game to put in the hydraulic press. Uh-huh. Because it's the same game as World Class Track Meet.
Yeah.
And it is. And we all have a copy of World Class Track Meet. It's impossible not to have one.
Yes. That is true.
I'm going to do an experiment where I'm going to like take a box. I'm going to put various Nintendo games in it, but not World Class Track Meet. And I'm going to bury it in the backyard, and I'm going to dig it up 6 months later and see if World Class Track Meet has somehow spawned in that box.
That's a fantastic idea.
And I think it will happen. Majors writes in to talk about the Memorex VIS, which is the thing we talked about, the Tandy VIS. I think they may have branded it as Memorex, but Memorex was owned by Tandy and owned by Radio Shack. It's a big mess. Mentions there are a few other, he's just mentioning how it's similar to like the CDI and Laser Active and CDTV. And they do have it, he mentions it at the MAGFest Museum. They had one, but it only has the manhole, which is like a precursor to Myst. If you hate Myst, you'll hate the manhole even more. So we said Madden Football. He was never huge into sports, but did rent Madden Football. You know, overall liked it. And it really, the only other football he played a lot was Cyberball. Just not especially close. Your mom scammed KB Toys. Do I remember that?
Possibly. She may have.
May have. Okay. So Major says he worked part-time at KB for a couple of years. The only video game deal he got was Phantasy Star 4 for $30 when they were clearing them out. But he did score some figures that were being cleared out for pennies, like Earthworm Jim, Metal Gear, and Space Channel 5.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice, nice. The Taito Regret 2, oh, Egret 2.
It could be a regret.
Some solid stuff. Could be, yeah, yeah. He said, probably wait till it gets clearance out at Dollar Tree. That's the short version, which I think is probably where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
And for hydraulic press, he would put any acrylic sealed graded games.
I agree. That'd be my answer.
So I'm going to summarize the feedback on the hydraulic press. A lot of people said stadium events.
Yes.
I'm not going to read them individually, but there's like half of the replies are stadium events. The folks over at Gamers Week podcast, who I understand have plugged our show.
Yeah.
Chimed in to say the graded Super Mario Brothers that sold for $1 billion.
Yes. I would do, yeah. Anything WADA graded, you got a hydraulic press.
Hydraulic press. Someone else suggests Panzer Dragoon Saga. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that one get crushed. The Mario 64 that sold for $1.5 million. All the greedy weasels at WADA. I don't think that's legal. All the WADA games. Clay Fighter Sculptor's Cut.
That is a bad game.
That's a good one. Conker's Bad Fur Day. I guess they just don't like that. Someone suggests every copy of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Action 52, Cheetah Men 2, and another person wants to buy all the Call of Duty games just to crush them.
I don't think I know Cheetah Men 2. I'll just search for
Yeah, it was this weird. I met the Cheetah Men 2 guys at Midwest Gaming Classic. It was like some unfinished game that then they finished and did some limited. I don't remember. Maybe they did a Kickstarter or something to sell physical copies. It's bad.
Okay.
It's really, really bad. Now, did you have a pick? I mean, I was thinking of like Earthbound. Like, I just think it would be a very fun video. I think it'd be fun to watch the reaction videos to Earthbound. New inbox being crushed. What would you pick?
I like the WADA games. I really do like crushing the WADA games, because now on eBay, anytime I see something sealed up, you know, those WADA seals, I'm like, why? What is this? You buy games to play them, not to put them behind glass that some rando gave a random number to, you know? So that's my answer. But yeah, hopefully we'll get some new social media questions up there soon. And yeah, we hope to hear from more listeners emailing us. We love those emails.
Yeah. So I guess, is that everything?
I think that's everything.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.